We are diving into God's Word this morning, Acts chapter 20. Go ahead and turn there in your copy of the Scriptures. And while you are doing that, let me remind you that we are going through a sermon series right now called Be the Church. And in the book of Acts, we have seen that the church of Jesus Christ has been planted, has been born, and is taking off and is spreading throughout the world. And we are still called, no matter what day and age we live in, to continue to be the church. Not just to go to church, not just to watch church, but to actually be the church, because we are God's family. As we gather together and as we also scatter out, we are the church and we are on a mission. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we started this at the very beginning of this series several months back, that you're going to be my witnesses. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are going to be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem, but then also in Judea, Samaria, and all the way to the ends of the earth. And they had absolutely no way of knowing how that was going to happen. But the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them and moved them, and circumstances happened that they did not wish to happen, that came upon themselves, things that persecuted them and pushed them out and changed the way that they had to do things. But the mission never changed. They continued to be the church and be the witness that God has called them to. Today we arrive in Acts chapter 20. If you remember last week, we left off in the city of Ephesus, and there was a huge riot because the gospel, the good news about Jesus, was changing people's hearts, right? And when the gospel, the good news about Jesus, changes your heart, it changes what you do with your life. And people in the city of Ephesus, their lives were changed, and they quit participating in a lot of the things that they had been doing before, and people got ticked, right? The people that were selling these false little idols, these little statues in the city, they were upset because it hurt their pocketbook. It hurt their money. And so a huge riot broke out, and things got a little dicey there in Ephesus. And Paul, he had been there now for 3 years, which was a pretty long time for him. And he decided it was time for him to continue to move on this last missionary journey that God had him on. And so here's the setup for what we're going to be studying today, is that the Apostle Paul continues his travels. He continues to minister in other places in the region. But then he feels constrained. He feels pulled. He feels called by the power of the Holy Spirit to make his way to Jerusalem and then eventually to Rome. And so he's cutting through one last time, and he's getting kind of close to the city of Ephesus, but he decides not to pull in there, right? He's on a ship. He arrives at this city called Miletus, which we'll see here in this passage is about 30 miles away from Ephesus. And he says, you know what? Instead of me going to Ephesus and getting caught there, I really want to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. And so instead of me going into the city, because I know thousands of people there, the church has been planted, it's been successful, it's healthy, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to call the elders of that church, the leaders of that church, to meet me 30 miles away, and I'm going to talk to them and say goodbye to them there, because Paul knew in his spirit that this was the last time that he was going to see them. And so that's the setup. That's what's happening. He's coming back to this place where he has planted a church, where he's built up leaders, and he's going to give a message to the leaders of this church and share with them what it is that remind them really of what he did there, tell them what's happening presently, like what God is doing in his life and in his heart, but then also he talks about the future and what it is that they need to be doing. And so the title of our message today is A Ministry That Matters, right? It's called A Ministry That Matters. How to have a ministry that matters. You see, God calls, as he's building up his church, calling us to be the church, an important aspect of church life is church leadership. And so that's why Paul has called the elders, the leaders of this church, to himself so that he can give them this challenge. And you might be asking, well, what good is this going to be for me, Pastor? Like, I'm not a leader in the church. Well, let me tell you that I believe that the message today from the Word is helpful for all of us. I believe it's helpful for Tim Ward there in the back. I believe it's helpful for Bill Olson here, for Wes Williams, for myself, the elders of this church, to be reminded of what God has called us to. And so, gentlemen, I'm going to be preaching to the four of us, all right? But I'm also going to be preaching to some of you guys here who know and have a sense in your heart, no matter where you are in your journey with Jesus Christ, that God is calling you to something different, that God is saying, you know what, it's time to step up, It's time to move forward. God is calling me to not just show up to church, but to be the church and to be a leader, to no matter where you are, no matter if this is your first time with us or you've been with us here at Belmont for many years, to say, I'm going to take my next step forward in being someone who's participating in the life of the church. And I want you to see today in what I'm talking about, once we finally get to the passage here, that the qualities that we are looking for and aspiring to in church leadership here at Belmont. And then for everybody else, really for all of us, I would say, this is a great insight for you to go, why do I need a church leader? Like, why is leadership important in the church? Can't I just show up and be entertained? It's helpful for you to know, especially if it's your first time here, to say, what is this church like? What are the leaders at this church like? And I will tell you that in this passage, you will see what we are aspiring to be as we shepherd the flock of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and we're going to jump into Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Lord, we want to have a ministry that matters. Lord, we don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to be fake. Lord, we don't want to just show up. But God, we want to be called by you, to be used by you. And Lord, we want to, when it's all said and done, be like the Apostle Paul, who says that he has run the race well. And Lord, we don't want to have any regrets. So God, I pray that you would remind us this morning of what it is that you have called us to, and that every single person here would be willing to step forward, to take their next step toward you, toward Jesus, and toward the calling that he has on our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we're going to pick up our story there. And we're going to be covering Acts 20, verse 17 through 38. It's a pretty long passage. It's a pretty long story. So we're going to be breaking it down really into three sections there. And the first section that you're going to see that the Apostle Paul breaks down for us is this. Number one, serve the Lord. If you're taking notes, I hope you are. You might have a piece of paper that looks like this. The first thing that you're going to see on there, the first fill in the blank, is serve the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and give you the other ones as well, because if you're like me, you might be sitting out there the whole time not paying attention, trying to guess what the other fill in the blanks are. So the next one is this, follow the Spirit. And number three, shepherd the flock. Now, those are some big categories. So we're going to get down deeper into each section and break it down and see exactly what Paul means by these things. So Acts chapter 20, verse 17 says this. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. We talked about that. And when they came to him, he said to them. So he got word to them. He's like, guys, I really need to talk to you. This is pretty important enough for you to travel 30 miles to come be where I am. And I want you to do this thing for me one last time. And so they do that. They arrive. And then he has something significant that he wants to share with them. It's not just a time to hang out. It's not just a time to high five. It's a time for him to really pass on a challenging word. And my prayer for us this morning is that we would be willing to receive a challenging word this morning, that you would not just hear it, but you would put it into practice in your life. And he says this to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia. You yourselves know how I lived among you. And so I want you to get this right off the bat, that the Apostle Paul lived among the people, that from the very first day that he set foot here in the province of Asia and began to minister in the city of Ephesus, he was just diving right in. He wasn't waiting. He wasn't hanging around. He wasn't wasting time. He jumped right in. And he said, you can remember, you can think back to how I did ministry, a ministry that matters. And here's what I did. Verse 19, serving the Lord. I want to just stop right there and say, yeah, that's our point number one. That's covering these several verses here. And Paul's just saying this. You know that from the first day that I arrived, the ministry that I did for this church, you know what I was doing? I was serving the Lord. If you're a leader or you're aspiring to be a leader in this church, let me tell you this. The first thing you need to purpose in your heart is that what you are doing is serving the Lord. Moms, this is for you too. Serving in your house, dads, leading your home. you need to purpose in your heart that what you are doing, your motivation for doing it is for serving the Lord. You see, it's easy in church life to get caught up in serving other people. It's easy to get caught up in trying to please other people and make other people think of you more highly than they ought. It's easy to have that motivation in your ministry. And so as we look at this first point of serving the Lord, let me ask all of us to do what the Apostle Paul is pointing out here, is that we would check our motivations so that we would say, what I am doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not doing it for you, right? And be like, hey, wait a second, that doesn't sound real good, right? Pastor, I thought you were here to serve us. I am here to serve this church. But my primary reason for serving the church is because God's called me to it. It's because I'm serving him. And as you'll see, as we get further into these verses, it's a good thing as a church leader to do that, because you won't always feel like doing that. But if your motivation is correct, you will stay on the right path. And so he says, get your motivation right so that you're serving the Lord and you're not here just to please man. And what is the manner of ministry? So we see the motivation here in the Apostle Paul is that he is called to serve the Lord. God has struck him down, gotten his attention, changed his life, and now his motivation is not for his own self-glory. It is for the purpose of the gospel. It's for Jesus Christ. But then that affects the manner of your ministry. Am I right? Amen? You guys with me? Can I get an amen out there? All right, thank you. You see, your motivation in ministry will affect the manner of your ministry. Get this. Paul goes on and says this. Serving the Lord, how? With all humility. Not with a little bit. Not with fake humility. But when I'm serving the Lord, and the way that I'm doing it is I'm doing it, Paul says, with all humility. And you can all testify, you elders here at Ephesus, you can testify that that is how I did it. I did it with all humility. Now, if anybody in the world could have served with pride and with boasting, it would have been the Apostle Paul. In fact, he lists these things off and he says, you know, if anybody could boast, it would be me, right? I mean, because I'm the man. I mean, humanly speaking, I've got all the credentials. I've done more than all the others put together. I'm pretty awesome. But I realize, because of how God's grace has changed my life, that none of that is due to me. It is only because of God's grace that I have been changed, that I have the ability to do that. And so that's why it causes me to want to serve the Lord with humility. So if you're a leader or an aspiring leader, make sure that as you serve the Lord with humility. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that we should serve the Lord just like with the same attitude that Jesus had. And he says this, do nothing, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Philippians, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. As you serve other people, count those people, those sheep, those members of the church, as more significant than yourself. That should be the tone of your ministry. It shouldn't be a, hey, look at me, you serve me. But your ministry should be one that says, I'm here to serve the Lord, and therefore I serve you humbly. I serve you grateful that God has served me, because I've been served by the greatest in the universe. He has sacrificed in this way that he has given his life on a cross for me. How can I have any pride whatsoever and serve you with a lick of pride at all? I should not do that. So as you look on and you say, what kind of church is this, and what do the leaders here aspire to model? Let me tell you this. We aspire to lead in a humble way, because we have been served by Jesus. What else does he say? Well, he continues on. Once I get back, sorry, I should have memorized these verses. Acts chapter 20. He says, I serve the Lord with all humility. And what else? With tears. Wait, Paul, you know, it's not manly to cry. That's why you'll never see this pastor cry. But it's not manly in our world for men to cry. But what you're going to see here at the end of this passage is that all these dudes are gathering together, and they're all being like a bunch of girls, right? I mean, they're all weeping because the Apostle Paul is like leaving, and he's like, hey, you're never going to see me again. And they're like, Paul, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And like, hey, no one take our man card during this, right? But Paul says this, I served you with tears. This is the manner of his ministry, is that he served them compassionately. He actually cared. He wasn't doing this professionally. This wasn't just his job. Paul was a minister of the gospel that cared about the people, and it brought him to tears because of it. We see this in a number of times. When Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, this is a really immoral church, just like you guys. Don't laugh. You know who I'm talking about. I mean, this church was out of control, immoral, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And Paul says, I'm writing to you with tears. Why? What would bring a church leader to tears? That the people that he's trying to lead and shepherd are living immoral lives. And it breaks the heart of the Apostle Paul. And it breaks the heart of a leader of this church to say that any one of the sheep, any member of the flock would go out and would knowingly live a lifestyle of sin, because we are called to a life of holiness. And so it should move us to compassion. What else? Paul says in Romans chapter 9 that he sheds tears, that it breaks his heart for lost people. For the Apostle Paul, he says, actually in Romans chapter 9, he says, you know what? I'm in anguish. And if I could, I would trade my salvation with those of my brothers and sisters who are lost, who are living a Christless life. If I could, I would trade places with them so that they can know Christ. So a heart for Christians that are not living and walking with Jesus, and a heart for the unbeliever to say, this person is going to spend eternity somewhere, should move any leader in a church, a minister of the gospel. But Paul says this, be ready to serve if you're a leader with trials, with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. And so what's he getting at here? He's just saying this, everywhere I go, these Jews, man, they hate me. They're against me. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to do what I'm called to. And I have trial after trial after trial because these people will not leave me alone. They stoned him, tried to kill the brother. They tried to take him out in numerous kinds of ways. He's also been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been tortured. He's been in prison. This is a manly dude, a godly dude. And yet he's like, man, as a leader, you're going to encounter trials. Ministry is not easy, right? You got to have thick skin. And this is why we go back to serving the Lord, right? Because if a ministry was built on what you thought about me, that ministry would be short-lived. Because it is a ministry that could really hurt you and harm you. Because guess what? Sometimes church people, you're not going to believe this, church people can be not nice. Some of the meanest, downright, dirtiest scoundrels I've ever met have been in the walls of a church building. Can I get an amen? People will hurt you. They will deny you. They will betray you. And as a church leader, you might be going, Pastor, you're not doing a really good job talking me into wanting to serve the church and lead in the church. But I'm telling you, it's worth it, even in spite of those trials, because you are serving the Lord. So when those things hurt you, you can go to bed at night and say, you know what, Lord, I'm serving you. Things didn't go the way I wanted to. Things didn't happen. People didn't show up. They didn't do what they should have done. And you know what? It doesn't matter, because I'm serving Jesus. And so the results, I leave to God. But I know that I did what I was called to do. And when the trials come, I rest in that. Amen? So, church leaders, expect trials. That is the manner of his ministry, is he is a thick-skinned pastor who's relying on the Lord and not worrying about all these trials. Verse 20, he goes on and he talks about the message of his ministry as he serves the Lord. This is all still point one here. So we've got the motive and we got the manner, but now we got the message. He says this, "You know how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." What kind of message was Paul preaching? Leader, what do you need to be willing to do if you're going to lead in the church of Jesus Christ? You need to be willing to declare anything that's profitable for teaching. You need to be willing to step up and say what's true and what's right, regardless of what's happening in the culture. And you need to be willing to step up and tell people what they need to hear, speak the truth in love, so that the people under your care can grow up in Jesus Christ. We can't be leaders who are bashful and who hide and aren't willing to say what people need to hear. And that goes for me too, because I have brothers in this church who are willing to meet with me and pour into me and invest in me and tell me when I'm wrong, which is plenty of times. By the way, I'm a human being just like you. Even just this past week or two, I've met with a dear brother in Christ and he pointed out something in my life and I had to apologize and say, you know what? I got out of my lane. I got in the way. And I need to be willing to step back and say, you know what? I was wrong. And I need to be sharpened and I need to grow. So I need people who are willing to speak truth into my life so that I can grow in Jesus Christ. Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't arrived. Hey, don't amen that loud on that one now. I haven't arrived. I'm just kidding. That's the truth. If you know me, you know I have not arrived. But the journey is still happening for me as well as for you. So we got to be willing to teach boldly and say the truth. Anything that's profitable. And teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks. What else was his message? His message was this, that he was willing to teach everywhere. That we got to be willing no matter where we are, whether it's here in a church courtyard, or whether it's online, or whether it's in someone's house, or whether it's in a coffee shop, that everywhere we go, we don't just turn off a switch and say, okay, I'm not a church leader now. But if God has called you, that is your life, that is your calling. You do that everywhere you go. And who do you do it to? Paul says, I did it for Jews and for Greeks. I did it for everybody. So if you're a leader in the church, you're shepherding people all the time, 24/7 in the Walmart aisle, right? People are like, hey, brother, can I ask you a question? Sure, let me just put down these things here. What can we talk about? That is the ministry that Paul has. His message was bold, and it was constant, and it was everywhere. And what exactly was he preaching? He says this in verse 21. Keep up. Follow along. Testifying both the Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. How is Paul serving the Lord with the message that he's giving? He's doing it and he's saying this, you need to repent. We are a fallen people. We live in a fallen world. We are in rebellion against our Creator. And when you live your life the way you want to live it, you are living in sin. But when you listen to your Creator and what he tells you to do, you're living the right life that he has for you. Repent, turn around from the direction that you're going and walk toward God instead. People don't want to hear that what they're doing is wrong. It doesn't feel good. And of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that this is phrased in the Greek here, this is really like two parts of the same idea, is that people are repenting. They're heading in this direction toward the world. And what they need to do is they need to repent, turn their back on the way of life that they were living, and they need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ instead. So instead of having faith in the world and the things that used to grab us and hold us and have our attention and have us addicted, we turn our backs on those things and instead we replace that. We don't just try to quit those things. We replace those things with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we turn to him. That is the message that Paul was preaching. Day and night, Jews and Greeks, house to house, in the large gathering, everywhere he went, that was Paul's ministry. It was a ministry that matters. Is anybody still with me? All right, if you want to have a ministry that matters, not only do you need to serve the Lord, but man, you need to follow the Spirit. And so we're going to continue on. And verse 22 says this, "And now, Behold, I am going to Jerusalem, gentlemen. Why am I doing that? I'm constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Wait, doesn't God just want the very best for me? God would never lead me into a situation that's harmful. God would never lead me into a situation where I wasn't comfortable. No, Paul is following the Spirit, and that is exactly what the Spirit is doing, is leading him into a situation that is uncomfortable, that is painful, because God's greatest purpose here is not so that Paul could be comfortable or content or happy or have his best life now. His purpose, first and foremost, is always his own glory. And if that means that you and I as a church leader have to go through it, we'll go through it. And in fact, I would say this, that God can't really use you greatly until you're broken, until you've been through some stuff. Then you know what it tastes like to have to rely on the Lord. You want to be a church leader? Get ready to suffer. Get ready to have a little bit of pain and trials in your life. But guess what? It's worth it. Obey the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Paul says, I'm constrained by the Spirit. That basically means this, that he is in bondage to the Spirit. And being in bondage to the Holy Spirit, if you're here and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives inside of you. And you have the opportunity to pay attention, to hear from him, to be guided by him on a daily basis. But too many times, leaders and church attenders just live a life that's just based on their own knowledge and what they want to do and their comfort. And if they have a little bit left over, they can give that to Jesus. That's not the New Testament model for being the church. It's following the Spirit. And I don't know what's going to happen. Some of you here, you got to know everything that's going to happen. Am I right? You just want to know everything that's going to happen all the time. I can't go into that situation because I don't know what's going to happen. I got to have the details. I got to know what's the plan. You know what Paul knew? I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. What's the plan? Follow the Spirit. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to get messed up. I know that. Apparently, I'm going to get jacked up, and I'm never going to see you guys again. That's the plan. That's not a. Who wants to sign up for that plan, right, man? We got that on your connection card today. Follow the Spirit. Don't know what's going to happen. Give my life for the gospel. Next step, and be in the church. Living a life led by the Holy Spirit is a life where you're not in control. You have to actually have faith and follow the Lord and not know all the answers and not know all the outcomes. So what does Paul say? I think here, if you're living a life led by the Spirit, let me point out a few analogies that we see here in the following verses that I believe that Paul gives us to say, here's what a life led by the Holy Spirit looks like in the life of a leader in the Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ. Let's go. Verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself. Here's an analogy of an accountant. Okay, if you're going to be a leader, you need to take an accounting of your life. It doesn't mean you need to be good at math. It doesn't mean you need to be good at paying your bills, right? But you should pay your bills. But you need to take stock. You need to do some accounting work. And you need to say this, that my life before Jesus Christ and following the Holy Spirit, I don't account that as any value at all, nor as precious to myself. It's really hard to be a leader in the church of Jesus Christ and really value your own personal life and your own personal gain and your own personal worth and have a content and happy and safe life. You just can't do both. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and man. You can't serve God and money at the same time. It's an impossibility. You just can't do it. You can try to walk the fence. It'll never work out. You'll always tumble over on the side of money and man and the world. What you need to be willing to do is throw all that away and say, yeah, it's okay for me to have things, but when I value those more than I value following the Lord, then I'm not doing a good job of accounting. And that's why he says this: I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. For someone here today, I really believe that just means a personal accounting right now. That you would take a personal accounting, that the Holy Spirit right now in your heart would say, what do I value? What's important to me? I give that away. Lord, tell me right now, tell me today what you want, where you want me to be, where I should be serving, where I should be involved. And I'll just do that thing and I'll lay down all my own plans. But we also see here the analogy of a runner that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. Let me back up there. He says this: I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. And so he switches from an accountant to a runner, and he says, I want to finish my course. We've heard this before from the Apostle Paul. I want to finish the course. I want to run the race. And I also want to finish. I don't want to just run. So as you're thinking about church leadership, let me encourage you to do this, to think long and hard in this accounting and to say, am I a person that's willing to finish the race? Because every single day, hundreds of ministers in this country, church leaders in this country, fall away. They fall off the wagon. It got too hard. They found out that they were serving for the wrong reasons. They were serving for the approval of man, and they just couldn't keep it up anymore. And they stepped away, and they threw in the towel, and now they're not involved anywhere at all. Man, we need the men of this church to step up in a big way and to follow, but we need you to be in for the long haul. Things have gotten hard this year. This year has been a test for a lot of people. If you're struggling right now and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this, man, you know what? Step up. You don't fall away right now because of the testing. You run the race. Get back in the race. If you're like haven't even been involved here lately and you're like, hey, I just tuned in today just to see what's happening, get back in the race. Don't quit. Don't give up. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in our country. But you know what? That's just a chance for you to become a better runner, for you to become stronger, for you to run the marathon and not give up. And so don't do that. Be willing to continue on day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade. We also see the analogy of a witness here. Verse 25. Put your finger right there. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify, I'm a witness to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. Why? For I did not shrink away from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul says, not only have I been an accountant, I've taken account of my life, not only am I a runner and I'm finishing the race, I'm not giving up even though times are getting hard and I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem and then to Rome and then I'm going to die, I'm never going to see you again, but I'm also a witness. And I'm innocent of the blood of anybody that I've come in contact with, because everywhere I went, I didn't shrink away, I didn't hide, I wasn't fearful, I didn't wonder what they were going to say. No, I spoke out the truth and I was a good witness. You know what makes a good witness? Someone who tells the truth all the time. You know what makes a bad witness? Someone who doesn't tell what's happened to them. You know what a witness is? Just somebody who says, hey, this is what Jesus did in my life. That doesn't mean that you have to be a theologian. It doesn't mean that you have to have a seminary degree. You know what it means? That you have to be willing to say, this is what Jesus did for me. Once I was blind, and now I can see. And I don't know all the implications of that, but I do know this, that a lot of times it's the people who are newly saved, who are newly walking with Jesus, that make a big impact in people's lives, because it's just happened. And they haven't gotten into the rut of Christian life. they're still excited because of what's happened to them, and they can still bring other people to Christ. And so Paul is just saying, I'm a witness, I've done my job, I've done the right thing, and I did all that by following the Spirit. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. All right. Third, final point. It's a long one, though, so bear with me. Shepherd the flock. It's a lot packed into that one little phrase, right? Shepherd the flock. Okay, I'll just do that. Shepherd the flock's a big deal. But as I look out, I see people here who love the church and want to be involved in shepherding and building people up and making disciples. Here's what that looks like. Where do I get this shepherd the flock from? Well, verse 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Pastors, elders, your shepherds, leaders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. That pay careful attention, your copy of the scriptures might say, take heed to yourself. That means be on guard. Be a guardian of the flock. Be a shepherd of the flock. And he says this, I want you to get this real careful here. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. If you want to shepherd the flock, you know what you better be doing first? You better be shepherding yourself. You better be taking care of yourself. You better be ministering to your own soul with the Word of God, spending time with Him. Because if you're not doing that, then you're not qualified to lead the flock. And so as ministers of the Word, we have to be students of the Word, constantly in this Word, turning off the entertainment of the world and turning ourselves over to the control of Jesus Christ. Because if you have nothing in the well, you got nothing in the tank, you got nothing to give. It's been said that a minister that's always available won't have anything to give when he is available. So if you ever reach out to me, especially like on a Tuesday, and you're like, well, I just texted Pastor John like 3 minutes ago, and he never texted me back. That's because I'm not paying attention to you during that time. I'm paying attention to myself because I'm studying and I'm learning and I'm growing first for myself so that I have something to offer this church family. Those are the kind of elders that we have at this church, Bill and Wes and Tim. And if you haven't done this lately, let me encourage you to encourage them. What they do, in case you haven't picked up on it, it's tough. I mean, it's easy for me, but for those guys, it's really hard. What they do, they give their time, their talent, their finances to love this church family. If you're not a part of this church family, let me encourage you. This is a great church family with great church leaders like those guys that want to shepherd you and see you grow in Jesus Christ. Encourage those brothers because it gets tough out there and it can be hard. And we all have our flaws and our shortcomings. And so we need some encouragement. You know, Lelia, love you, Lelia. Not only did she encourage us this morning with her two-minute testimony, this sister in Christ, this 80-year-old sister in Christ, shepherds me on a regular basis with a phone call, with an email, just saying, hey, great job, great sermon today. And I appreciate her lying to me like that. To say, you know what, ugh. She wakes up after the sermon. She's like, wait, Pastor, that was a great message. Just kidding. It's an encouragement because sometimes you hear more of the negative than you do of the positive. And so reach out to those brothers, encourage them, let them know, send them a card, send them an email, give them a phone call, send them a gift card, let them know how much you care about them. And so he says, take care. This is where I get the shepherd from. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's not your own desire, your own ambition, but it's the Holy Spirit that's called you to lead in this way, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I want you to see the value of this, is that the church is the bride of Christ. The church gathered here and online today is the church of Jesus Christ that he paid for with the blood of Jesus. Do you think the church is valuable to God? Highly valuable. That's why as a church leader, you need to be a good shepherd. Not a lazy, careless shepherd, but a good shepherd. And what does this look like? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because here's a few things that Paul gives us that shepherds should be about, should be doing, should look like. Number one, protect the flock. Because he obtained it with his own blood. Meet me in verse 29. You there? Say, I am. I know that after my departure, I'm getting ready to leave you guys, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They don't give a rip about this church. The wolves will come in. All they care about is themselves. And they're going to come. They're going to arrive. I'm leaving. They're already here. So what you better be doing, you better be willing to protect the flock. 30, and from among your own selves, so people from the outside, people from the inside, will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. These are bad, fake shepherds. And they're going to try to draw away disciples after themselves instead of being about the church of Jesus Christ. They're more about themselves. And these will be wolves in sheep's clothing that will say they love the church, but they really don't care for and weep over the church of Jesus Christ. They just want the attention. They want to be built up. Don't be that guy. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. We don't love admonishing people, speaking into our lives, sometimes harshly, but that's what's needed in the flock for their protection, to be warning and reprimanding people and just saying, be alert. Be alert. Got to protect the flock night and day, all the time, 3 years, nonstop. I did this. Now you guys are going to have to do the same exact thing. No matter what time of the night that phone rings, you better be willing to answer it, because the sheep need you. Being a leader in the church is not an easy thing to do, and it's not just a, hey, I got a few hours in this day and that's it. It's a lifetime thing. It bleeds over into every part of your life, but it should be the love, the thing that you love to do, because you're serving the Lord. So be willing to step up and protect the flock and do that at all times. What else? He says, teach the word to the flock, right? So protect the flock, but then teach the word to the flock. Where do we see that? 32. By the way, we are a church that loves to teach the word. That's why we like to go through books of the Bible together, so we could just see what the word says and not what Pastor John says or what one of the other leaders in the church says, but just what does the word say? Let's just say what it says, then let's do that. And here's what it says right here. And now I commend to you, you elders that I'm meeting with, and Miletus, you Ephesian elders, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I'm commending you to the word of God, this word of grace. How are you going to do all the things that we've mentioned? You can't. You're terrible. You can't lead the blood-bought church of God by yourself in your own power. What were you thinking? You know what you need to do that? You need this. You need the word of God, the word of grace that will help you shepherd the church of God with the truth of God. And it's a message of grace. We're not a church here that's about beating up the sheep, right? That's not a good shepherd either. It's a message of grace that says, you know what? Come closer to Jesus. Do life with him. Do life according to his word, because then you will flourish. But when you walk away and wander away from him, you will fall off a cliff and your life will not go well. And so you need to be willing to protect the flock, and you need to be willing to teach the word to the flock to build them up. Last but not least, you got to be willing to sacrifice for the flock. Now, I know some of you guys started out going, you know what, this message could be for me. I think God maybe wants me to step up and be a leader of the church. And maybe by this time you're like, man, forget it. I ain't about this life. Hey, if God's calling you to it, you just follow the Spirit and do what he says. And this last one, don't let it get you. All right? Everybody say amen. All right. Be a shepherd who sacrifices for the flock. What do you mean? I mean this. And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. That's this word right here. To give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Verse 33, meet me there. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. How's he sacrificing for the church? He ain't doing it for money. And I don't know many pastors that are, by the way. He ain't doing it for the money, right? He ain't after no one's gold or silver. He's not coveting those things. He's already taken account of his life and he's given those things away. 34, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. Paul's a hard worker. He's starting a church from scratch. There's not a lot of money to go around. So he's supporting himself during this time, this startup time. And the people that were with him, same thing. He's making tents. He's sacrificing so that the church can thrive and survive and do well. In these things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said to himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul says, hey, not only did I not covet anybody's stuff, not only did I work hard and support myself, but I helped the weak. And I remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You want to know how to sacrifice as a church leader? Give. Give of your time, your talents, your finances. I would say this, pay attention close here. If you want to be a church leader, but you don't want to give financially so that the mission of the church can move forward, you're not a church leader. You can't ask for attention and glory for yourself and a place of leadership, but then ask everybody else, ask the sheep to give, but then you don't give. You know what your elders do at this church? They give. We say, well, that's not fair because they already given all their time and their teaching and their talents and they're leading groups and they're meeting us at night and they're counseling us. Yeah, and then they work jobs and then they give financially. Well, this seems like it just consumes your whole life. Yeah, it does. We need you. We need more church leaders like that who are all in every aspect, in their lives, with their work, with their finances, with their words, with the Word of God, to be all in. And that's when the Church of Jesus Christ, when the people are being the church, that's when it makes a difference. That's when it makes a splash. That's when people come to go, this community looks different than any other community that I've seen in my city. No one acts like this. No one does these things. Of course they don't, because other people are looking out for themselves and chasing the things of the world. The church was always meant to be starkly different than everybody else. Let's be those kinds of people. And then closing, verse 36 says this. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all. This sounds like our elders here, always trying to hug me and kiss me. Just being real. Before social distancing happened, right? Wes is like, I can't wait for that vaccine to get here so I can hug and kiss Pastor John again. I get it. My wife says the same thing. So, all right, let me get back on track here. So these guys are weeping on the beach, right? The ship's getting ready to sail. You know what's a good marker of a church? A church that's willing to send people out, to let people go. They're not holding them hostage. They're not keeping them there. They're praying with them, and they're sending them out. They're not saying, we own this guy. They're saying, this guy is owned by the Lord. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Goodbye, Paul. We're never going to see you again. You were a great example of a leader, of a minister, and the Church of Jesus Christ. And we are so glad that you served us and started this church. And now he's going to continue on and do the Lord's work in another place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, we pray right now for us in this church, your people, that these principles, all of them, even though Paul is speaking to these elders of this church, that these would be principles that all of us are striving toward. Lord, that we would serve the Lord and not serve man. Lord, that we would follow your spirit and not the spirit of this world. And Lord, we turn ourselves over to you and say, God, we just want to give sacrificially. We want to serve and shepherd the flock sacrificially. God, I pray that that would be the tone and tenor of the church leaders here, but also of the entire church, that we would stand out in contrast to this world because of these things. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I love you guys. Love serving you. Love being here at this church with you. Whether you're here in the courtyard or you're watching online, Belmont is a church that wants to make a difference in our community, no matter what it takes.